Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the best phones under 8,000 rupees. Now, this is a price range that is, I guess, you know, very popular because some of the phones that have been the highest selling smartphones in India have been in the sub 8,000 rupee bracket, closer to 6,000 or so. Now, I should issue a quick clarification. It's not, you know, some of the phones, it's some of the smartphones. Like the most popular smartphones in India are in this price bracket, in the under 8,000 price bracket. Now, what we've done is, we've looked at all the best smartphones that are available in the sub 8,000 rupee bracket. All of them and most of them we've reviewed and we've picked out the best based on our reviews. Now, one clarification again is needed here. We've not picked a very popular smartphone, which is the Redmi 7, which is available under 8,000 rupees, but only for the base variant. And that has been done because the base variant only has 2GB of RAM. And we think that maybe that's not enough for most people. What has happened is we've reviewed only the higher variant of the Redmi 7, the 3GB RAM variant. And we don't feel comfortable recommending the base variant because we've not reviewed it. So everything we're recommending is something we've reviewed and something we personally tested thoroughly. And that's why we are here talking about all of these phones. So to the people who are going to be speaking about this are Deputy Reviews Editor Royden Sarejo.
What's up?
Soon to be Deputy Reviews Editor or who Hello. Wants to be Deputy Reviews Editor Aditya Shenoy.
Hi guys.
And I'm your host Pranay Parab. Alright, so the first phone on our list is going to be the Realme C2. Now, I should say that we've not really ordered this in any particular, you know, order. It's not like the first phone that's mentioned is the best one out there. But the Realme C2 is the one we reviewed most recently. And that phone is available at what price?
That's 7999. So, the Realme C2, for example, there are two variants of it. The base variant is with 2GB of RAM and 16GB of internal storage. That's at 5999. And then you have a higher variant with 3GB of RAM and 32GB of internal storage. That's at 7999.
Okay, so the, you know, one thing I want to highlight with all of these phones is that we were discussing this the other day. If you're going like shopping for a phone and you have a budget under 10,000 rupees, you can maybe expect to get some phones with 4GB of RAM. And you can expect some phones with full HD plus displays. And you can also expect some phones with decent cameras and pretty powerful processors at the 10,000 rupee price bracket.
Yeah.
But if you reduce your budget to 8,000 rupees, suddenly you miss a lot of these nice features. So you may or may not get a fingerprint scanner, which is missing in the Realme C2.
Yeah.
You may or may not get a very well-built and nicely designed phone that's like a hit or miss. And HD plus display is the norm. You won't get a full HD plus display under 8,000. Yeah. That's very difficult to find.
Because you look at phones that are around 10, I think when you go for, say, a phone that's under 8,000, what you're going to miss out on is first the display. You're going to get an HD plus resolution display only. You won't get full HD. You'll get a micro USB port on it only because there are phones around the 10,000 rupee price point that has a USB type C port. Yeah. At the higher price point, there is a possibility that you will get a phone with 4GB of RAM and a more powerful processor. Usually, we've seen under 8,000 rupees, the most popular processors currently are the Helio Media, the MediaTek Helio P22 SoC. Now, that's very common. Look at, like, you know, most of the smartphones that are on the list are powered by this MediaTek processor. And you'll get what, 3GB of RAM at best. That too when you're closer to the 8,000 rupee mark, then away from it. So that way, if you can extend your budget, yeah, you can go for a 10,000 rupee phone. Otherwise, we've got the best phones under 8,000 rupees for you.
Yeah, but even this C2, I think that's the one thing that I quite like. I mean, I don't use it as much as you, but I think the finish of the back especially is something very unique and very different. It's not like the traditional glossy
plastic bag
that you would typically expect from, you know, a budget phone. So that is something I really liked. And I think overall it looks and feels pretty neat as well for the price.
I think design is, yes, one of the strongest points for the Realme C2, primarily because it does not look like an 8,000 rupee smartphone.
Exactly. Yeah.
Even if you look at the 6,000 rupee version of it, the base variant, it gets the same diamond cut, design on the back. And by no means does it look like a sub 8,000 rupee smartphone. It does look like it's a lot more expensive than it. But yes, the fingerprint scanner is missing on it, and that I think is something you will notice after you go and unlock the smartphone, go to unlock the smartphone. Yeah. Because you're kind of used to a fingerprint scanner either on the back or on the front of the device.
Does it have face unlock?
Yes, it does have face unlock, and yeah, it is quick to unlock. So that way, that's like one saving.
But I wouldn't recommend this. Face unlock is not secure on most phones that use it because they basically don't exactly have a very strong layer of security underneath. It's not a 3D model of your face that they're recording and probably can be fooled by a photo or a video. So wouldn't recommend it. But anyway, if you want to use it to unlock your phone quickly, it's there. The interesting thing about the Realme C2 for me was that it lasted really long in our HD video loop test. This is where we just play an HD video in loop and calculate how long the phone has survived, how long the battery takes to go from 100 to 0. Now, I think this one lasted around 20 hours and 29 minutes in our HD video loop test, which is definitely way on the very higher side.
Yep.
So overall, like in real world uses, does this translate to a good battery life?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're with my usage, which was like playing PUBG Mobile for a while, and that too, PUBG Mobile is not very smooth on it. It's not playable. It is a little annoying. But apart from that, you know, with WhatsApp, using the phone for navigation, and a couple of other apps, the phone will easily go beyond a day and a half, or you know, even 2 days if you're a little frugal with what you do on it. Easily.
Yeah, so that's actually pretty good to hear. In terms of software, I think it has ColorOS 6 based on ColorOS Android 6, Pi.
Yeah, on Pi.
So that's not too bad either. I mean, ColorOS 5.2 I wasn't a huge fan of. 6 is closer to stock Android, so you know, all the better. Anyway, so moving on. Now we have the Infinix Smart 3 Plus, which was a bit of a surprise entry into our list. When we got the phone, when we started reviewing it, we were quite surprised by its performance. Now I'll tell you some of the important things that you need to know. The battery loop test is the one, you know, it's my favorite metric for any phone. This one lasted around 14 hours and 57 minutes. So almost 15 hours it lasted. How does that translate in terms of like performance? Is 15 hours okay?
Yeah, 15 hours is actually a very good metric because with that, I think you should easily expect the phone to last you a full day and a bit more on one charge, provided you're doing like regular things like, you know, a few calls, a little bit of chatting, music streaming and stuff like that. Like obviously if you're going to be gaming non-stop or using the camera heavily, it is going to drain a bit faster and you're probably not going to get that full 24-hour mark. But on the overall, I think that 15-hour is a good indication that you should easily get a day, if not a little bit more, with normal usage. Yeah.
Okay, so while the Infinix Smart 3 Plus's price, which is I think 7,999 rupees, it looks attractive, there are a couple of things you should know about this phone. Now, so, you know, with this phone, you get the MediaTek Helio A22 processor, which is tuned more for efficiency, and it's also seen in the Redmi 6A, which is available at 6,000 rupees, the starting price. So this is, I think, for the processor that the phone offers, it's priced a little bit on the higher side. And also, it has a triple rear camera setup, surprisingly enough, which makes it like the only phone in the sub 8,000 rupee bracket which has a triple rear camera setup. Cameras are okay, nothing like extraordinary. But, you know, in this price, there's a special low light sensor as well in the phone's camera. So I guess, you know, you got to like appreciate the fact that you are getting that. And then you also get only 2 GB of RAM and 32 GB of onboard storage. So that is another, you know, thing that bothers me a little. If we had 3 GB of RAM, it would be more comfortable. Yeah. But then again, you know, it's unfair to criticize the Infinix for this at this price range.
Okay, well, there's a couple of things about the Infinix Smart 3, you know, that I've observed is that first, it's a triple camera smartphone under 8,000 rupees. Now, you usually get what a dual camera setup around that price point. It's not very common.
Yeah.
The MediaTek A22 processor, when you look at it, yes, it is a little underpowered for the price because usually most other smartphones are offering the P22, which was there on the Redmi 6. It's also there on the Oppo A5s, multiple other smartphones that we have recently reviewed. And it's a little more powerful. So with the Redmi 6A, you can you know, pretty much do your basic tasks. But anything which is a little heavy, like games and stuff, you will see the phone slowing down. And one other thing I noticed about the camera setup is that the triple camera setup has a low light sensor in it. Now, that is something, you know, it's not very common.
In fact, not common at all. Yeah. I don't think we've ever seen a low light sensor other than probably what, the OnePlus 6?
Probably, because this thing has what, a 13 megapixel primary, 2 megapixel depth and a low light sensor. So yeah, I think that's you know, one interesting bit about the smartphone.
Yeah, I mean, in our review we've mentioned that the photos that come from the smartphone are, like, for this price range, they are pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, otherwise, I know one of our major complaints is that the photos are, like, just about okay in daylight, and in low light they're, like, absolutely terrible and unusable for most phones in this price range. We didn't have a similar complaint with the Infinix Smart 3 Plus. So if camera is your top priority and performance is not, then maybe you could look at this. We have also mentioned that the camera app is pretty bare bones, which is something for you to keep in mind if you're going to be, you know, using this exclusively for the camera. Moving on, now the next phone that we want to talk about is the Asus Zenfone Max M1. Now, this is a bit of a confusing phone because there is another phone called the Max Pro M1 in the market. And when the Max M1 launched, we were actually pretty underwhelmed with what it offered. But I think now that this phone's price is under 8,000 rupees, we can maybe reevaluate some of the things that are, you know, like in that we think about when we look at these phones. So, the Zenfone Max M1, first, let's talk about the HD video loop test, because why not? So with 3 GB of RAM and 32 GB of storage, this one lasted 11 hours and 32 minutes in our HD video loop test, which is on the lower side, right? But I guess we reviewed it here in the Bombay office, so was the performance acceptable?
Well, so when I reviewed this phone, the Asus Max M1, I remember this came with a Qualcomm Snapdragon 430 SoC. Now, this is older compared to, you know, the other processors that we currently have in the market. And I think one of the issues was that first, it is old. I don't recollect if it actually supported dual 4G and dual VoLT, because the Snapdragon 400 series did not have this in place. And that is one That's of the right. reasons why a lot of manufacturers have gone for the MediaTek Helio processors for the lower end of their smartphone portfolio. So the Max M1 and the Lite M1 were two smartphones that were launched side by side. And the main difference was that the Max M1 had 3 GB of RAM and 32 GB of storage, while the Lite M1 had 2 GB of RAM and 16 GB of internal storage, while every other parameter was pretty much the same. The battery is a little higher on the Max M1 at 4000 mAh. So the phone is capable of delivering, like, a good usable experience, but the processor is slightly old, and you do feel it slowing down, you know, when you're using heavier apps. But with 3 GB of RAM, multitasking and all was easy. But on the Lite L1, which is slightly cheaper, I did notice slowdowns because it had only 2 GB of RAM.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think our biggest gripe with this Max M1 was that outdated processor. I mean, because, you know, most people these days want to use two SIMs at the same time. And the fact that this could only support 4G and one SIM at any given time was a bit of a letdown. Also that, yeah, the processor, like you said, is not that powerful. And as you would expect, the cameras in low light especially were not very good. But again, what I think the battery life was one of the only things that really stood out. But apart from that, it was an average phone. But again, at this price, you can't really complain too much either.
Yeah, so this is going for 6,999 rupees. And that makes it, like, a little more appealing than when we reviewed it. Our review, obviously, like, the price was much higher. It was, I think, some 8,000 plus at that time. And now, due to multiple price cuts, it's come down to 7,000. And that's, at that price, 3 GB of RAM and 32 GB of storage, along with, you know, most things working, even though, you know, performance is not exceptional, is okay, right?
Yeah, because when they launched it, I recollect that the price was 8,999 rupees. And then they had a festive, you know, price, which was 7,499 rupees. And now I think we've got another 500 rupee off from that festive lower price. And it's at 6,999. So for the price, I would say it's good. But yeah, it was definitely not value for money at 8,999.
Yeah, so at 7,000, you know, things change a bit. And the, like, overall standard of performance of phones under 8,000 is such that the Zenfone Max M1, what you get at 7,000 is pretty decent. It's not bad at all. So the Realme C1 is the next phone we want to talk about. Second phone from Realme that makes it to this list. Now, Royden, I know you reviewed this phone, but it's been a while since, you know, you did that. So there are three variants of the Realme C1 in India. 2 GB RAM, 16 GB storage, 2 GB RAM, 32 GB storage, and 3 GB RAM with 32 GB storage. Now, you can't get the 3 GB RAM under 8,000 rupees, 3 GB RAM variant, but you do get the base variant. It's a base variant and the middle variant under 8,000. Now, the Realme C1, again, like performed pretty well in our battery loop test. If I'm not mistaken, it had a 4,230 mAh battery. Mm-hmm. And the video loop test, it did 20 hours and 23 minutes, which is almost as good as what we got on the Realme C2.
Yeah.
And again, like, you know, we had said that there's no fingerprint sensor on this. That's one of the big problems with this one. Cameras are not great and performance was also a bit on the slower side, right?
Yeah, so when we tested the Realme C1 last year, at that time there was only the 2GB RAM variant available. And I think that and the 16GB of storage was the biggest bottleneck of this phone. Again, there wasn't many phones or probably any phone around that price with like this water drop notch, and also that itself was, it was a pretty unique offering. Not a water drop notch, but basically a notch itself. So that itself was pretty unique, but I think that RAM and storage was the biggest choking points. And since this is not even running, you know, stock Android, it has to run on ColorOS, and ColorOS is pretty resource intensive and it's quite a heavy skin on top of Android. So even basic things when you're doing, like, you know, switching between apps or even simple animations, there's just simply too much stutter and lag, and there's less, a lot of waiting when you're just having waiting for even simple things to be done. There's just a lot of waiting involved, which is something you didn't like. And again, the storage, the 16GB of storage sounds like decent, but again, you got to remember that this is before, you know, Android and all the default apps take up a fair chunk of it. So you're left with technically just around 8 or under 8GB of storage, and that can fill up pretty quickly as well.
Yeah, so, well, I would recommend that everyone goes for the 32GB storage variant. At you will get it under 8,000 rupees, so I don't think, you know, there's a budget issue either. If you're absolutely, you know, pressed for budget, you don't think you can spend 7,000 or 8,000 rupees on a phone, then the one that we would probably suggest is the Redmi Go. Now, in our guide, which is available on gadgets360.com, we've included the Redmi Go as an honorable mention. Now, why is that? It's because this is a part of the Android Go program, which is basically like a stripped-down version of Android installed on phones with low-end hardware. Mm-hmm. So, the Redmi Go is priced at 4,499 rupees, and it has just 1GB of RAM and 8GB of storage internally. So, just think about this as the most basic of phones. And, you know, it's not something that you can buy exactly for performance. If you're upgrading from a feature phone and want a smartphone,
yeah,
then I guess this is a decent starting point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Redmi Go, first of all, yes, it's like a perfect smartphone, like a first smartphone if you're moving from a feature phone to, you know, a smartphone. So the Redmi Go is also very aggressively priced. It's lower, and it's, since it's a part of Google's Android Go program, so it will get updates. I think security updates would be rolling out fairly quickly. But I don't remember a Pi Go update rolling out, because I don't think Google has made Android Pi Go edition. So yeah, as soon as that is available, I think that will probably be one of the major updates to a smartphone. And it is a big deal, primarily because a smartphone that's available at such a low price and, you know, with bare minimum specifications, running the latest version of Android.
Yeah, I mean, clearly this is not a phone for people who want to do any sort of media consumption or any sort of performance-related activity. I mean, it's just meant for somebody who wants, you know, something that's not a feature phone, but, you know, you want something which has these smarts, like support for WhatsApp and a big touchscreen display. So it's just for, it's like a, like you said, it's like a beginner phone for somebody who just wants to get their feet wet with Android and just for basic tasks like calling, messaging, basic chat apps, essentially. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even if you do things like, you know, switch between two apps, you are going to notice stutter and all on
absolutely
this one.
Absolutely.
And there's a single camera setup only. You can't expect dual camera at this price. Like, just think of it. Like, whatever is the absolute basic thing you want from a phone, that is what you will get. I think at 4,499, even 1GB of RAM is pretty good, because I think Android Go is designed for 512 MB.
Yep.
And it's good to see that Xiaomi decided to go with 1GB and not the bare minimum. So you can expect like basic tasks to work properly. And you can expect what, day-long battery life on this one?
Yeah, so it's powered by a you know, fairly efficient Snapdragon 425 SoC, and you get 3000 mAh of battery. So yeah, you'll easily get over a day, because anyways, you won't be playing heavy games on it, because it won't be able to run it smoothly. Yeah. So yeah,
I don't run it at all for that matter, probably.
So 1GB of RAM for basic tasks, yeah, I think you will be able to get over a day, maybe a day and a half easily.
Yeah, okay. So I suppose that wraps up our list of best phones under 8,000 rupees. One bit of advice I'd give everyone is, like, at this price point, well, if you expect a little less in terms of, you know, not getting maybe blazing fast performance and not expecting to play PUBG Mobile at, like, maybe medium settings or whatever, then I don't think you'll be disappointed as such. The quality of phones under 8,000 rupees has, you know, reached a stage where the phones you'd get for 11,000 rupees maybe 2 or 3 years ago, that level of performance you now get at under 8,000 as well. And the competition in this price segment is also pretty tight. So it's not like there's only one choice under 8,000 rupees that's decent anymore. You got multiple decent options. And if you don't expect, what, 10,000 rupee or 15,000 rupee type phone type performance from this segment, then I don't think there's much to be disappointed about overall. With that, we can wrap this episode of Orbital. We'll be back with one more episode next week. In the meantime, you can go to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram and follow us at Gadgets360. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, then you can also, like, write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. Thank you so much for listening.